Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veterans. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and the home of some great Gulf Coast seafood.
Absolutely. And folks that truly support our military and our veterans, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and of course you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SBN is all about getting our veterans' voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. It's at FM Talk 106.5. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And I've got a lot of information in the show and some very special presentations as well. So if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on the topics that we cover, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And as we mentioned, we are recognizing and celebrating Independence Day. We're a day late with our radio schedule, but we are very proud to be doing that and remembering that. And we have a couple of very special guest presentations. We got one great story on the history of the Star-Spangled Banner that'll be coming up in segment two. And one of Tom's heroes, John Wayne, is going to be stepping in to handle the tirade duties, and John's going to be giving us a very special explanation of TAPS. So a couple of interesting things that you'll want to miss out. And we'll also, in between those, we're also going to be touching on a couple of very interesting developments that are coming out of the terrorist paradise down at Guantanamo Bay as well. Some of the stuff you just won't be able to believe. It's a little off the deep end, but a lot to cover over the course of the show. And speaking of July 4th, Tom, did you have a big, a big barbecue and celebration and light off some fireworks?
Oh yeah, yep. And scared the hell out of my dog. I think she like had a heart attack.
And, that is one of the worst things about July 4th is that so many pets are absolutely terrified.
They are. That's unbelievable.
I know. I've dealt with that with dogs before. But, Tom, there are actually a couple of stories, nothing too dramatic, but stories of veterans who say that, the July 4th holiday, at least once the sun goes down and the fireworks start, that it can be somewhat traumatic for them because it it sometimes will trigger some PTSD reactions as
well.
Well,
and it will. And, you know, we had a problem with that back several years ago when we were bringing the vets from the VA center in Biloxi over to Mobile to the baseball park and having them over there and letting them enjoy the park. But then the night that they had the fireworks, we would have to get them out of there and leave before they started the fireworks because some of the guys that were in the hospital over there had some severe problems with that. So it was just another deal you had to work with when you were dealing with the vets.
Yeah, it is, and obviously it can be worse for some than others. But some of the veterans that were mentioned in some of the articles out there in the interviews that I saw, you said that the biggest thing was just recognizing it and being able to be prepared for it.
Right.
And so at least there are some coping mechanisms out there. But you know, all in all, it seems like it was a great 4th of July across the nation, celebrating our independence yet once again. And looking forward to better years and continued liberty throughout the nation. So hope everybody out in our listening audience enjoyed it and had a safe and happy 4th. But jumping into one story before we move into the break. Is the largest attempt by the Department of Veterans Affairs to research the effects. It's interesting wording, but the effects of military service and the veterans' own genes and how they affect their health. Like I said, the largest study of its kind, but what is called the Million Veteran Project may become a casualty of budget wars on Capitol Hill. And the story off Stars and Stripes, it says the Million Veteran Program surpasses 580,000 enrollments, but may be on the chopping block with President Donald Trump's proposed 2018 VA budget. The project leaders are looking to use the information they collect to research conditions such as diabetes, cancer, Gulf War illness, heart disease, kidney disease, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and PTSD. And the American Legion was going through and looking through the proposed budget, and apparently much of the funding it was stripped out of what is the IT appropriations for VA research. And they're basically saying that if those cuts are made, that this Million Veterans Program project will basically disappear. And it's interesting, Tom, because what the project is there to do is to improve and personalize healthcare for veterans by looking at the things that make them up. In other words, the genes, their lifestyle, their military service, and then try to almost get ahead of the veterans on how they diagnose and treat them. And with 580,000 enrollees, that's certainly significant. But I guess the question is, with what they've already done with this program, is there the political will to actually pull the plug on it?
I don't really see that happening. If it gets to the attention of the public and to the regime, being Trumpitis or whatever you want to call it up there. But I wouldn't think that they would cut anything out of the VA if the people or the vets know about it.
Well, the other side to this coin, Tom, is they're looking at with their budgets, and I think this is across the board with many of the proposed budgets for the various departments. But there is still an increase in overall spending in this budget for the VA. It's just prioritizing where that money is going to be spent.
Right.
And I think that's where you're going to get it's basically going to be some turf war here.
Yep.
On exactly who is going to be able to get the dollars and how they're going to be able to use them. And if you're going to spend, in this instance, you're looking at spending close to $18 million. If that is better spent, making sure that the VA can provide the quality health care that it needs to, instead of doing this kind of research. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as we move forward in the budget negotiations on Capitol Hill. But it's a very forward-thinking project. The question is, will our politicians be able to figure out how to fund it?
So, yeah.
There's more details in the stack, of course. You can check that out. Hey, on the other side of the break, really special presentation. It's the story behind the Star-Spangled Banner as we celebrate Independence Day here on the Scuttlebutt Network. We'll have that and more as we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds." The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, "Men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch." as twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, "Tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us." 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, "It's still up. It's not down." The admiral came and he said, "Your people are insane." He said, "What's the matter with them?" He said, "Don't they understand this is an impossible situation?" Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, "The thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees." The admiral said, "We have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down." He said, "We don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that." But he said, "Now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point." Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer, "God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it." Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? O'er the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets sprinkling, the bombs bursting in air, gave food through the night that our flag say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, powering your shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans. Today, our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And you can also check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we'd certainly like to thank the folks that continue to help make this show possible. SAS Healthcare and our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly.
And, you know, Tom, as we've said, we're kind of celebrating July 4th, a day late, that, you know, just because of the radio schedule. But, you know, that piece on the Star-Spangled Banner really is just, it is a great lesson in history. And, you know, of course, there's almost a mythology of how our nation was founded. And,
right.
You know, some of it may have been embellished a little bit here and there, but certainly the story of where the Star-Spangled Banner derived there at Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor is one of those pieces, and it's just a great story to remind us of the sacrifices that were made by patriots along the way to get us and gain us our freedom from England at the time, and to give us the liberty to move forward as a nation. And you know, it's not always been perfect. Where there have been hiccups along the way, but we certainly have formed a more perfect union in so many ways. And when you look at other places in the world that try to duplicate it, it certainly is a challenge for them. And we still, even with all of the problems that we have encountered We are still the freest nation on earth.
Amen.
Because of patriots right. like those that held that flag up.
And then people wonder why we get uptight when somebody wants to trample on our flag or burn our flag or destroy it in some means.
Well, you know, Tom, it was interesting. I probably heard more this year from those, I don't know, personally heard, but more stories and reports and quotes and clips of people that said, you know, they're not going to celebrate July 4th. They don't celebrate July 4th because it's nothing but a holiday to celebrate, you know, white men who were oppressors.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, what they failed to recognize is that there were some tremendous difficulties in even declaring independence.
Sure.
And that compromises had to be made along right. the way. But their foresight is what enabled us as a nation to be able to move forward and move away from some of those things as we moved along the way. Some of it through additional rounds of bloodshed, as you say, as we saw in the Civil War. You know, the bloodiest war that we've ever fought was amongst ourselves.
Right.
You know, when you have those that for whatever reason, whether it's just out of their own ignorance. Or if it's the educational system that we have today that want to point the finger back at us and our forefathers and our founding fathers to say that we are an illegitimate nation, when it's only because of the sacrifices that have been made that they have the freedoms to say those things.
Right, right. And, you know, when everything we fought for, all the lives that were given in all colors, all breeds, everyone who was here, gave them the right to bitch and moan as they see fit now, and they just don't recognize that fact.
Well, and of course, then you have some yahoos, and why, you know, why the NFL has suddenly become a lightning rod for some of these sentiments. You know, you have folks now, even folks, you know, at ESPN, who claim that, you know, playing the national anthem before sporting events is racist and is an unnecessarily show of political bias. And I'm thinking, how is the national anthem anything? How does that equate to political bias or racism?
If they don't like this country and what we're doing, why in the hell don't they just leave?
Well, you know, as in so many.
I'll make a donation to the damn plane or the rowboat.
As in so many instances, Tom. You know, the problem is that they know how good they have it here, and if they went anywhere else, they'd be looking for a real job.
Well, you know, it's kind of like I heard a preacher tell me one, you know, the audience one time. He says, "Look, guys, I know some of y'all are talking about going over there to this other church, and that you were going to leave this church. But let me tell you something: don't go over there, because right now they're getting along fine before you get there."
Well, and it's what we see in so many instances where, you know, you have populations that flee these liberal states in the Northeast because of high taxes and oppressive governments that are there. And, you know, and then they want to move to places like Florida, and they're moving really all over. And then they get there, and they want to go through the same stupid policies that they left the original place.
Right.
You know, and it's if they can't they can't recognize that they contributed to what was going on in the first place.
Right.
And so, yeah, they want to go and screw somebody else's situation up.
Yep.
I was talking with a friend. I think there's you can actually, you know, out in international waters, there's some of these old oil rigs that you can purchase for a sizable amount. And you can just make your own country. And I thought
I was
just going out and doing
it. Yep. Oh, my luck, though, the next damn hurricane come in and blow that sucker down.
Well, yeah, yep. there is always that.
I could apply for foreign aid then, though. Hell, you know? You know?
There's so much of this wackiness in what's going on. And you when you look at the beauty and the simplicity of our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and you read the rationale that went into it, it really was. If you don't believe that there was some sort of divine intervention in what was enabled these men, and yes, they were all men at the time, to be able to do that, and to put together a document that at least laid a framework that we've been able to hold together for over 200 years of freedom. It really, really is remarkable. But, of course, there's always those folks that have to go out and fight for those freedoms. And in a story that is just astounding, Tom, you know, many of the prisoners from Gitmo have been released, many of them under the watch of Barack Obama, because he promised to close the terrorist prison there. And, of course, he failed because of the defiance of some in Congress. But there's a story, and it's not getting a lot of press in the mainstream media. This is off of military.com. I think a couple of other venues have picked it up since, but the Canadian government is going to apologize and give millions to a former Guantanamo Bay prisoner who pled guilty to killing a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan when he was 15. Yeah, they're going to, the government of Canada is going to give Omar Khadr $8 million, well, it's $10.5 million Canadian dollars, just $8 million U.S. dollars.
Why? Why?
The Supreme Canada Supreme Court said that the his interrogations had been done under oppressive circumstances, and some of those oppressive circumstances included sleep deprivation. And it's just, this is the world turned on its head. He killed. He was captured by U.S. troops following a firefight at a suspected al-Qaeda compound in Afghanistan that resulted in the death of American Special Forces medic, U.S. Army Sergeant First Class Christopher Spear. He was suspected of throwing the grenade that killed Spear, and apparently he confessed. He actually pled guilty in 2010 to charges that included murder. And even with that, he was still only sentenced to 8 years plus the time he had already spent in custody. So he returned to Canada 2 years later as part of the Obama's cleaning out Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets there, and then he was released in May of 2015 pending an appeal of his guilty plea, which he says was made under duress. The Supreme Court of Canada ruled that Canadian intelligence officials had obtained information from him under oppressive circumstances. His lawyers, this whack job lawyer, he filed a $20 million wrongful imprisonment lawsuit against the Canadian government, arguing that Canada violated international law by not protecting its own citizen. Now, this is somebody, I mean, there were Canadians on the field of battle.
This is a friggin' terrorist we're talking about.
Yeah. It just blows your mind, Tom. I guess if there's a silver lining, and maybe it will mean nothing, the widow of Spear and another American soldier blinded by the grenade filed a wrongful death and injury lawsuits against Khadr in 2014, and a judge granted a $134.2 million in damages. However, the plaintiffs may not be able to do anything about it because this guy lives in Canada.
Oh my!
Tom. Granted, you're going to be able to find an attorney that will take this kind of case.
Sure, yeah. Oh yeah.
But how does Canada Supreme Court not just throw this?
Well, it's Canada. It's Canada, man. Come on, you know.
Well, I mean, that's where all the liberal whack jobs want to go.
I know. So, look at all those guys still there from Vietnam. Oh, them damn draft dodgers that went up there during Vietnam time. Now they want to come back, you know. Oh, yeah, man, I was over there in the military.
Yeah, I find it, granted, you know, if he served his time and they release him, that's one thing. But to now turn around and pay him $20 million.
You owe him a damn it's like thing.
It's like the illegal alien that was in San Francisco that they he went in to report a crime, and they imprisoned him and sent him off to ICE. And he sued, and I think he's going to get $180,000.
Oh,
yeah. That's your tax dollars at work in the state of California.
No wonder we're broke. No wonder they're broke.
Hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to have Tom's tirade, but we're going to let John Wayne take on the tirade with an explanation of caps like you've never heard it before. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
We die, stabbing a flame from under, up with one hell of a roar. We live in fame, we're down in flame. Nothing will stop the U.S. Air Force.
It was July in Virginia. The scent of the dogwood and the laurel lay heavy on the land, while the burgeoning fruit of the peach and the apple marked the full sway of summer. For seven fateful days, the trees, the flowers, yes, the very ground itself, had shuddered under the roar of cannon, the bark of howitzers, and the crackling of a legion of rifles. Now all was silent. Sledgehammer blows of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson had mauled the Army of the Potomac, and yet that army was not destroyed. 7,000 men had fallen in that dreadful week, and the savagery of the conflict was grimly evident in the river of wounded that wound through the green hills. Now a new sound drifted in the soft evening sky. For Colonel Dan Butterfield, a courageous and able soldier, was also a man of music. To honor his fallen comrades, he had composed a simple and heart-rending melody. On July 2nd, in the year of 1862, its strains floated over the graves that scarred the dark Virginia earth. It has been more than 100 years since that sound was born, but those notes have never died away. Every night of the year, throughout the world, fighting men of America from the north and the south, the east and the west, close their eyes in sleep to its call. And in each of their hearts, there glows a fierce surge of pride.
Oh,
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com, along with Tom Claxton. I'm Cal Walters, a couple of old Marines with just a little bit to say the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, I know the Duke is one of your favorites.
Yes.
What a unique way to look at TAPS, you know, in light of the information.
It's awesome, man. You know, and I've never heard that rendition of it.
And you know, there's so many great, I guess, of the old timers who did patriotic presentations.
All
like
those old timers.
Yeah, but think about it now. Could you imagine? You know, somebody come? Can you imagine Bruce Willis coming out and doing something like that, and how he would be excoriated by the folks out in the California?
Oh, they would chew him up and spit him out.
Yeah. And yet, you know, you do have you still have those that are out there and are serving on the front lines to fight for our freedom. You know, we still have troops in Afghanistan
sure.
that are fighting and dying.
Right.
And in a situation where General Mattis has said we may need to put more troops out.
Right. So true. And look, we got them in Syria and in Iraq again, too.
Yeah, and, you know, and we do. The situation in Syria looks like it might be tamping down a little bit. But, of course, you now have a number of commentators that are raising questions about just how serious the situation with North Korea might get.
Right. That can be a flu barb, too.
And that's just that is a remarkably dangerous scenario, because you're dealing once again with a fanatical enemy that doesn't really seem to want to play within any established rules.
No.
But just think about this, Tom. If you remember, it was under the Clinton administration that we basically bought off North Korea. You know, they would rattle their saber and we'd give them money and remove sanctions and this and that and the other. And Clinton said, well, you know, we're just going to toss a bunch of money at them and remove sanctions and they'll be fine. And here we are, you know, 20 years later, and, you know, they are a thorn in our side from a nuclear.
Oh, yes.
And it makes me think about the situation that Obama left us with Iran, who was part of that axis of evil, and the fact that we just gave them a whole
yep.
pot of money and have given them a path to at least nuclear bombs, if not the warheads capable of, or the missiles capable of firing.
Right.
And just when will we learn? When I say we, you know, sort of the collective we of the American people, just say no. We're not going to allow them to continue to rattle their saber along the way. Something has to be done, and if not us, who is going to do it?
Yep.
Because, you know, North Korea really, it may very well be a land war, but if he starts lobbing missiles hither and yon, who knows where that will end. Of course, you know, with China right there with him, it really could become a disaster for us. So as we celebrate Independence Day, we also have to remember that we have to be willing to fight to maintain that liberty, not only for ourselves, but those around the world, Tom.
That is so true, Cal. And this thing could totally get out of hand over there because, I mean, you know, whether the dictator fires around or pushes a button. We don't know, but one of his generals might do it. So we never know how that's going to work out.
Absolutely. Well, with that being said, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word, and we will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!